Okay, so last time I just started kind of introducing these Divrei David Ha'achronim, David's last words, the last things that are recorded from him, and noted that they're not in Tehillim, they're in Sefer Shmuel, because they're not really an organized tehillah, they're not a poem, they're a series of expressions that really kind of one tries to put them together. And sort of the way to look at this, and way I look at this is kind of it's the autobiography of King David. This is the way he's talking about kind of trying to put together his life here. And it starts to describe himself. The first pasuk is the introduction. Ela divrei David ha'achronim, ne'um David ben Yishai, the words of David the son of Yishai, ne'um ha'gever who kam ol, son is Quran translate, the man who's raised up high, Mashiach Elkei Yaakov, the anointed of the God of Yaakov, Ne'im Zimrot Yisrael. It always translates as a sweet singer of Israel. And I would go through these pieces one at a time. There are four parts of David's self-identity, where he sees his own role here. The first is he's David ben Yishai. And that's important because Yishai is part of the chain that goes back to Yehuda. And he sort of has this family history that's been destined to be the ruler of Israel. Yaakov said to Yehuda, Lo yesur shevet mi Yehuda, the scepter will not leave Yehuda, mochokek be'en raglav, and the rulership will not leave his descendants, ad ki yavo Shiloh, strange phrase, and what's quite sure what it means, until Shiloh cometh. Lo yichatmim, all the nations come to him. And that's the last lines of Sefer Rut. The end of the Megillah goes through this. Ela todo Peretz, right? This is the sons of Peretz. Yehuda's son is Peretz. Peretz will lead it. Chezron will lead it. Ram will lead it. Aminadab. Aminadab will lead it. Nachshon. Nachshon will lead it. Salma. Besalmon will lead it. Boaz. Boaz, of course, is one of the heroes of Megillat Rut. Boaz will lead it. Oved will lead Yishai. Yishai will lead it. David. David is part of this chain that goes back to Yehuda. And they've all of these names on here are leaders of at least the tribe of Yehuda, but certainly of Bnei Israel as a whole. We've seen a lot of those beforehand. We looked at that before, one of the previous essays, which was probably, you know, probably 7 years ago, right before we got into the story of Bathsheba. We looked at the story of Yehuda and Tamar as the beginning of all of this. We looked at the story of Boaz and Ruth. And both of those stories are really stories of Yibum, of having children as a way of continuing the name of their previous husband, of Tamar's husband, Ruth's husband, who had died, and that those are acts of chesed. You have to say, you know, this child is not mine, belongs to somebody else. And that's a sign of being able to sacrifice for someone else, and that is certainly something that's required of a melech. That's the way Malchut works, is that your children carry on the dynasty. But if you think if it's just for your own power, your own family's glory, then you're going to be a tyrant, not a melech. In melech, you have to say, yes, my children belong to the country, to the people. They're able to give something up. And we know the story of Nachshon as well in there, as being the one who jumps into the Yam Suf first, another act of chesed community. That's chesed shel emet. Chesed that is never paid back, unrequited mercy. And that's a prerequisite for Melech Yisrael. And that's what it means to be a, that's what David is saying, is David ben Yishai, part of that chain. And David's father himself. We don't know much about him. We have one line, really, say for Shmuel about Yishai. And that's when David's first introduced before he goes off to fight Goliath. Pasuk says, David ben Yishai Ephrati hazeh, David ben Ish Ephrati hazeh. And David was the son of a person from Ephrat, Yehuda, from Beit Lechem, Yehuda, Ushmo Yishai. That was from Yishai. Shmona Banim, and Yishai had eight sons. We know David was the youngest and the one that Shmuel didn't think would really be the king. But Ish b'mei Shaul, and that man, Yishai, in the days of Shaul, Zaken, he was old, Baba Anashim, I would go with people. Doesn't mean he would go with people. Mara says in that, Marava, the Yishai Avi David. That he would go out with a crowd, with the people, and he would come back in a crowd, the Doresh Bachlusa, and he would teach Torah Bachlusa in a crowd. And the Midrash says on the right says on this, Ein Achlusa, what does mean a crowd? Bachutim Yishishim Rabo, 600,000. All of Bnei Yisrael as a symbolic number. What does it mean he would go in and come out with the people, with all the people of Israel? You know that expression of Nichnas Uba, going in and going out, is used in the Tanakh as a sense of leading into battle. That's the one of the commentaries on the Gemara there, Ben Yoyada says about that. Nearly B'Sheret Shemaya, Kavanah. That what I understand when it says is Yatzah Bachusa, Vichnas Bachusa, went out with the people, came back with the people. Again, the story about Yishai Dav's father. It's Yatzah L'Milchama, Rosh V'Sar, L'Shishim Ribo, that he went out as a leader in battle. Ish, and he would be successful, would come out without losing a man, would come back with that same number. The when he would come back for more, come back with that so same people. Same ones that he went out with. The Od Yeshmala, and the other aspect of Yishai was not only as a military leader, but Shedarash Bachusa. He would teach. Shedarash Torah, he would not learn Torah. He would be teaching in public as well. And these two sides of Yishai, David's father, as a military leader and a Torah scholar, and that's what David says here, that's who I am. I'm David ben Yishai. Right? He's Baba Nashim, he's going out with people, doesn't stay behind, but leads from the front. And that's important for what David was. And we know this idea from, I mean, it's constantly used in Tanakh of Yatzovah. When Moshe prays to Hashem to appoint a leader, he says, that Hashem pick someone for this nation. I know I'm going to die. I'm not going to believe in the Eretz Yisrael. Pick someone for the nation. Asher yitzeh lefnehem, who will go out and come in with them. We'll lead them in this battle. Asher yitzeh, and he will bring them out. Asher yivyeh, and he'll bring them back in. Not going to stay at home and let everyone else fight. He's going to be there on the front. And that's who David was, right from the beginning. Chol Yisrael Yudah, Ahavet David. This is the beginning of Shmuel, right after the battle of Goliath. All of Israel and Yehuda loved David. Ki hu yotzei uva lefnehem. He would go out and come back in front of them. That's the military side of it. That's the first part of being David ben Yishai. The second part of that description of himself is HaGever Hukam, which is translated as the words the man who was raised on high, right? Hukam all on top. But the Chazal saw that as more of a reference to David's ability to do tshuva. And we looked at that.
And all of the requirements of the mitzvah kind of thing, all mitzvah or something.
Right, that's what he's going to look, but not just Om Mitzvah. See, look at the Gemara over here. Shmuel bar Nachmeni, okay, Shmuel bar Nachmeni comes up a lot because he's like the master of Midrashim about David. And it says, "My David, my dechti, num David ben Yishai, num Geber who come." All, what does it mean? The words of David, the words of the one who was raised on all, num David ben Yishai, shehikim ola shel tshuva, not just Ol Malchut, but the yoke of tshuva. He accepted the chai. He accepted that he sinned, didn't argue, and accepted the penalties from that. And Ola Shel Tshuva generally is understood as Ola, the yoke of repentance, the Ol of. So that he becomes an exemplar of someone who bears the burden of repentance. The Marsha says that's not what the Gemara is talking about. Ola Shel Tshuva doesn't mean yoke, but an Ola in the sense of a burnt offering, a Korban Ola.
It's interesting that the root of the two words are the same.
Right, both of them from the word of al meaning on. Right, a yoke goes on, is something you have to carry, and olah is something that's completely burned up, it's offered, entirely offered up to God. The way the Medrash Tanhuma talks about what is a korban olah all about? And
Is
it's
that the
about,
one that's totally burnt?
that's totally burnt, right? And the Torah says, and the introducing it says, "Do Torah Ta'olah." This is the Torah. This is the procedure. The Olah, and the Medrash Tanhuma that says, Rabbeinu. That's what the rabbi said. Haita ola kula kedusha. That ola is completely holy. There's nothing there that's eaten. Shaloya ba al abonot. And because there's nothing there, it's not brought as a sin offering specifically. It's a donation, right? Asham shaita ba'al gezeilot, and it's not a korban asham that's brought for some certain kinds of sins, not a korban chatat that's brought on other kinds of sins. Avola lo hita ba'al chatat lo la gezel, that you don't bring an ola because of a sin or for any guy for a theft or any kind of other crime. It's meant to help purify your own thoughts. It's literally a sacrifice that I need to do. I need to get rid of something here and give it up. But that's what it is. The var that anyone had thoughts that didn't necessarily do an aveira, but had the thoughts about it. That's when Ola was meant to be an external expression of your internal regret. So that's what the Marsha says about that when David is. He came Ola shel tshuva. He brought an Ola of tshuva. It's the Farish. We should understand. Dinakat Ola shel tshuva. That's called the Ola, the burnt offering of tshuva. Al shem ki ha'Ola ba'ala machshava. That's Ola is brought for thoughts. That David is the one who gave us the ability, or taught us that we need to do tshuva not just on what was done, because you could have justified everything that happened with Bathsheba. As being completely legal, realized that that's not what was going on inside. He had sinned. He knew that he had sinned. What he was did was wrong. He needs to do tshuva for that. David lo chatav maaseh Bathsheba, because David technically didn't sin with Bathsheba. Talked about how you could certainly justify it. He gotten away with that. Amrinam perek with my behema, because we said the Gemara the get kri tuta ya kotev liishto that there was that he had a get. He was Bathsheba technically wasn't married at that point. Like you get Mafreya, it was retroactive. About the fiha olah, but according to what he was thinking at that, what he did was wrong. Chet mihat, it was still a sin, but nana shalav is punished for it. So that the olah is a tool for tshuva. Okay, it's
What
accepted.
nihe nana shalav?
Chet mihat means nonetheless.
Oh.
Matat mihat, he nonetheless sinned, even though he could have tried to justify it. Acknowledge that that was a sin, the nenash alav, and he was punished for that.
Oh, okay.
That's hilkikim olah shel tshuva. He didn't have to bring a chatat or an asham. This was an olah. Okay. But there, get in that frame of it's get put us in the frame of mind, and that's what the Ramban describes the purpose of the olah. V'yachshov adam basato kol eila, because the person should think as they're doing all the things. V'chatal elokav nafsho. Sin in your body and soul. That's the point where you should think, okay, I deserve not to exist. My blood should be spilled. This every crime against God is infinitely awful. Gufo, and that you should that the person himself should be burned as a sacrifice. But God's mercy says, "Lakach mimenu tumurai." Accepts a replacement. And this carbon acts as a kapara, as an atonement. The blood of the carbon is for one's own blood. Nefesh tachat nefesh. Roshei carbon keneged roshei evarav. The body is for the body there. That really, that's what that the sense that sinning against God is such an overwhelming thing that we should not be able to exist, but we do. Tshuva is possible, and that's a miracle. And that and David's Ola Shel Tshuva teaches us that not only to atone for a specific wrong, but to grow beyond that state of being a sinner. I'm imperfect. I can still stand before Hashem. Could have justified himself, but he says Chatati. And that's what Hukam Ol is, the one who established this idea. And we're supposed to learn from that. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And Rabbi Yonah Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Lo David Roy Lo Ota Masa. That David shouldn't have done this act, the Maaseh of Bathsheba. He was better than that. Yisrael and similarly, Bnei Yisrael shouldn't have brought the Egel Azav, but why did those things happen? And specifically, why do we have them written down in Tanakh today? Is Lamarach teach you that if an individual sins, Amrim lo, Kalach al yitzel yachid. You should go look at that example of David. Good sin, do tshuva, accept the punishment, do the tshuva, and come back from that. If community does, they say, go look at B'nai Yisrael, could do tshuva after Masa Egel, and they could come back. You can recover from sin. Yes, you're imperfect, but you will get better. And there's a famous letter. It's an amazing letter. Rav Huttner wrote to one of his students. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Ki sheva yipol tzadik b'kam, that the tzadik falls seven times and gets up. Rashim yichashlu bara'ah, but the wicked stumble in their evil. So the letter that was written to the Rav Huttner, which is brought down in his collection of letters, was about someone who just felt that they just made so many mistakes they couldn't possibly get any better, and they're just going to give up on all this, on everything. Just give up on Judaism, give up on yeshiva, give up everything. And he and tells him, "Achacham Adam, the wisest of all men." So about Shlomo and Sefer Mishlei, Omer sheva yipol tzadik b'kam, that the tzadik falls seven times he gets up. But tipshim, and the fools choshvim, they think ki kavanato derech revuta, that this is a kind of an exaggeration, that af al pi shesheva yipol tzadik, that what he's telling you, that even though the tzadik may fall seven times, mikoma kamu kam, he still can get up. And that's a good thing. You can still get up after every time you fall. But the truth is that's not what that means. The wise understand. They really know. Shakavanahu, that the intent, what that means, sheva yipol tzadik means, that the reason why a tzaddik can get up is because he falls seven times. It's failure that makes success possible.
Wait, Danny, I didn't hear the last part of the sentence.
Yeah, it's the sheva nefilot, that the fact that the tzaddik falls is what makes his kima success possible.
I see that he
The
said he.
chacham doesn't succeed despite the fact that he fails. He succeeds because he fails. If you never try, you'll never get it. You'll never succeed. Okay?
I understand,
That's
yeah.
it, right? That Hashem says it was very good, and the Medrash on that says Tov is a Yetzer Tov, right? The Yetzer good, Ma'od is a Yetzer Ra. Hashem created the Yetzer Ra. That's Tov Ma'od. Avai, my beloved, talking to the student, I grasp into my heart, and I'm whispering to your ear. If you wrote me a letter telling me all the wonderful things you did, all the mitzvot you did, all the good deeds you did, I would have said, I would have said that, okay, I got a nice letter from you. Okay, you're doing well. Now that since you're writing me this letter about the times you've fallen and you've stumbled and you've failed, that is a very good letter. You have the desire to become great. Recognizing that, okay, you failed, you can still get up. And that's what makes it tzaddik, is the yipol v'kam. It's the failure there. Right? If you never failed, it means you never tried. And that's what geber hu kam o'od means.
So this section here from Pachad Yitzchak is in Bereishit Rabbah.
No, the Pachad Yitzchak is it. This is the Igorot u'Mechtavim. That's his. It's the volume of collected letters of Rav Huttner. He's
Oh, okay.
quoting the Bereishit Rabbah, that Tov Ma'od refers to the Yitzchak.
But is that the Bereishit Rabbah? Is that the Talmud? Is that something else?
That's Midrash. That's the Midrash Rabbah.
Midrash Rabbah.
So that's the collection of Midrashim. Bereishit Rabbah is probably around 1100 or so.
Wow.
It was compiled. The next part of his introduction is Elokei Yaakov, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov. Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, he describes himself as the anointed one of the God of Yaakov, and specifically of Yaakov. As he says that, this is in the Tehillim Kuf Lamed Bet, where he talks about what his one desire is. This is the Shir HaMaala, Shir HaMaala, Zechor Hashem David Kol Anvato. Remember Hashem to David, all of his humility. Sherishba Hashem Nadar Lavir Yaakov. What's the oath that he took to the powerful one of Yaakov, specifically of Yaakov? That I will not go into my tent, I will not rest on my bed. I will not sleep. I will not my let my eyes rest. Until I find a place for God. Mishkanot Lavir Yaakov, a dwelling place for, again, for the God of Yaakov. That's David's idea, that he is fulfilling the oath of Yaakov Avinu, specifically his God is the God of Yaakov, and that's in Yaakov's relationship. Because Yaakov was the first one to make an oath to build the Beit HaMikdash.
What does Avir mean, God?
Avir means the powerful one, the mighty one.
Okay.
It's
It's a
important
reference
translation.
now.
And so that this is Yaakov when he's running away from Esau. And Yaakov makes a neder. He says, "Mielu God's with me." He says, "Asher this rock that I have established a pillar, yet Beit Elokim." First, I'm going to say, I'm going to build a Beit Elokim here. I'll give him Maaser there. So, David saw himself as a Mashiach Elokei Yaakov, the anointed one who was anointed in order to fulfill that goal. He wants to build a Beit Elokim. He won't succeed, but that is the focus, that is the driving force in his life.
But does
And the
that
last.
mean he also wanted to build a Beit HaMikdash, so to speak, or no?
That's the implication of that. And then that he never, we're talking about Yaakov. Yaakov never does. He comes back to Beit El, he builds him his Beach there, but doesn't become the Beit Elokim in that sense, in a place of of a way of spreading the word of Hashem to the whole world. And why that doesn't happen has to do with the fact that his son sell one of his sons into slavery, and they end up in Egypt. And we know that story. Kind of Yaakov fails at being what we would call Mashiach. That's for the end times here. David wants to do that as well. He fails as well. Shlomo will fulfill it, and that'll eventually fall apart too. But that's a story for Sefer Melachim. And the last part of this introduction is David calls himself Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, always translated as a sweet singer of Israel. But Rav Eisenman, who quoted that before, takes Ne'im as a word. Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, who lends delight, who sweetens the songs of Israel. As we sing, right? David is the one who makes those songs sweet. It gives the words to those songs, right? Tehillim have their power because they're not about David. They're about us, right? You feel that there, feel the meaning there. And we don't have the words to express what we feel, so we use the words of David. David expresses the words that we're trying to feel here, and that's the way we say Tehillim. This is the Medrash from Shir HaShirim Rabbah. Lots of authors of Sefer Tehillim. But we don't call Sefer Tehillim on anyone else's name. They are the words of David. Here's a mashal. Here's a parable. You have a group of songwriters who wants to sing songs to the king. The king says, "Kulchem namim, you're all nice. Kulchem chasidim, you're all righteous. You're all try to praise me and sing this before me. El ish ploni yomar aleich kulchem. But I want this one to sing. Lama, why? Because his voice is the nicest one. I'm going to pick him to be the representative to sing." Someone we have these 10 authors. We talked about different names that are right safe to heal them. Said, these are all very nice. Chasidim, you're righteous. Mshubachim, you're all worthy of singing for me. But David's going to sing. Why? Lama? Shekola. His voice is the sweetest. He's got the words there. And Hadukatiyev, that's what it means. Ne'im Zemira Israel. He's the one who brings sweetness, Nimut, to the Zemira Israel.
Was
And
he also a lady or no?
David was, I know, David was from Yehuda. Who's
Okay.
this from? He hired the Levium to do the
Yeah.
actual. I say he hired the Levium
Oh yeah, I don't know. Okay.
to do the actual singing, right? We don't know if his voice literally was sweet. I don't know what he sounded like. You know, he wrote these words. Kind of like Naomi Shemer. It's a kind of really gravelly voice. Ever hear her actually sing?
She has a very high voice.
Naomi Shemer?
Yeah.
Or
She had
she?
a very high voice, I should say. It was high and thin, like delicate.
Right. So.
It wasn't the greatest voice, but she was the greatest songwriter, that's for sure.
Right. So that's the way they look at that. That is writing the songs. The rest of us sing them. And the Gemara says about that, called Shirot. Rabbi said, Rabbi Elezer Omer, Kenegat Amra. The other says, no, he's talking about himself. It's all me. But Shur Omer, Kenegat Amran. But Yeshua says, no, it's about the community. But on public, Chama Amrim, Yeshmim, Kenegat Sibur, Yeshmim, Mehen, Kenegat Atzmo. Some are about the community, some are just about him. And they're Mopalash Yachid. There's some written in first person. In singular, rather, that's about him. Mubilash and Rabim, the ones said in plural, are about the community. But really, each one of them is Kenegat Atzmo, about him, about Kenegat Tzibur, about the community. So those expressions are ours. You know, you retell him now, and all these things are going, all these Tehillim gatherings, and you really feel it's really today, too. So that Rashi says, Ne'im Zemira Yisrael, right? One who sweetens the songs of Israel. Ein Yisrael Misharim b'Mikdash Ela Shiratov Zimratav. The songs we sing are the ones of David. And I'll end that pasuk with a quote from Rav Nachman. I'm not a chassid, but this is a nice thing with him. Aran, Ras Lover. Dibir Machaz, the story of Rav Nachman. He spoke to somebody, Amar Lo, and told him Sheikar Amirat Tehillim, that when you're saying Tehillim, you should say Lomar Kol Mizmer Tehillim Al Atzmo. So think that you, that they apply to you. That's how does the affect your life? Where do you see that? Atzmo Kol Mizmor. You should find yourself in every song. Shalot tells her. So this chassid, he told that too. They asked them the question, hey, how do you do that? And he said in short, so some of them are more obvious. You're praying for help, praying for health. That's understandable. But when you have all these things about war and fighting enemies, Melech, Shalom, Hashem Yitbarach, all the wars that David prays to him to say that Hashem should save him. Hem called Tzrichim. You have to think about that being yourself, in your own battles with the Yitzhara, in your own personal personal fight and fight to improve yourself, and against those who affect you. And that's how you think about all these things, how you could translate something about yourself. And the chassid asked him again, so what do I do with all those Tehillim where David says how wonderful he is? Right? I am a tzaddik. Can I say that about myself? Gagon, where the Tehillim says, Shamra nafshi ki chassid ani. He says, protect me because I'm a chassid. Can I say that about myself? Yosef has done similar things. Yeshiv lo, and Rav Nachman said back, Gam ze tzrichim lefresh asma. You need to think about that yourself as well. Because you have to give yourself credit. You can't always be down on yourself. Can't be so humble and say you're terrible. You have to find the good in yourself as well. There's a place in Tehillim, there's a place in yourself-reflection to say, I'm good. Shvili nivra olam. That little point of goodness, chasid, that makes you can say that you in fact are a chasid, a righteous, because of that similar things. Always look at Tehillim as a way of sort of making it personal, even in our own lives. And that's the introduction. Sort of four sides of David looking at himself, maybe look at him. And then this last words start, the actual words start with Ruach Hashem Diber Bi, says, the Spirit of God spoke with me, Milatol Shani, and his words are on my tongue. And
Really interesting.
what?
I don't know, Danny, because when you've like gone through this shiurim that you're working on, or when I was working on something to write, looking for a little inspiration, sometimes you like sleep on it and
Yeah.
something comes to you. You know what I mean? So I always feel like that's like a spiritual thing.
Right. So we talk about that Ruach Hashem. It's like it's,
Maybe.
you know, all right. We can all get that. You get that sense. Okay, this is you're somehow really connecting.
Yeah.
Because it's not nevuah in that sense,
Right.
right? I mean, we have this idea. That comes the question: do we consider David? David is not a navi in the sense of having this direct message from God. It's divinely inspired, right? We have this. This is right when David is anointed. Says by Kach Shmuel Keren HaShemen, that Shmuel takes the anointing oil, Vayimshach Oto b'Kerav Achav, and he anoints him among his brothers. So David's, I don't know, 25 years old. But Tzislach Ruach Hashem El David, and the Spirit of God comes over David. Miyomahu Ma'omala, and from that day on. So what's this Ruach Hashem? So as the Targum says, it's a Ruach Shavuah. It's a spirit of prophecy. Okay, this is Tag Yonatan, Yad Mishcha, that Shmuel took the bottle of oil, Mashach Yat David, Goachoy, and anointed David amongst his son. Share Ruach Nevuah, mean Kadosh, spirit of Nevuah overcame him from God from that day on. But Rashi says, no, it's not really Nevuah, it's bravery, power, right? Halat, but that's a Ruach, but Rashi is Ruach Gevurah. Like that's a point where he goes from a shepherd to being a military leader. And the Radak assumes, though, when we say here that these are Divrei David Achronim, it's his last words because he sensed that he's losing that Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Eisenman says that something important was beginning to slip away. So he's trying to write this down, try to put this together. And that's Radak. Amar Divrei Ma'ele, Shem Divrei Shevach, Vodal, Lakel. That these words here, these last psukim, are praise of God, Shekimu l'malchut, who made him the king. But ma'achronim, the last ones, Shu'achronim l'chol ha'shirot v'mizmarim, these were the end of all of his psalms, all of his poems. Sha'amar, ki achar zeh l'hufa la'olav ruach ha'kodesh. So he loses that ruach ha'kodesh. So it's not so much a nevuah, but certainly is divinely inspired.
That sort of reminds me of like Moshe and the last book of Chumash, that he also is like giving over his last word.
Last words, right? Everyone has his last words. Hazino is Moshe's last words.
Yeah.
He didn't. So Moshe doesn't lose the Ruach HaKodesh in that sense.
What?
He doesn't. Moshe doesn't have that sense of ending, of losing his Ruach HaKodesh. He is, you know, Lunas Lecho is. He never lost his vitality until the very end. We have the sense that David kind of really gets old in the end, and this becomes the Divrei Achronim that things are slipping away.
Yeah.
This is what the Rambam specifically says, that David's not a Navi, that there are levels of divine inspiration, divine inspiration. This is a Mar Nebuchim. Tarich says, Karlacha, I need to talk about levels of Mar Nebuchim talks, he talks about 10 different levels of what we call Nebuah. That the first, second levels, there are steps toward it. But if you're at that kind of level there, now you're talking about, you know, you feel inspired, but it's not, you're not a nabi in the sense. Yeah. if we call such a thing a Navi, right, Navi is Ruach Nevuah, klalot, it's more general, because he's close to a Navi. And so what are those lower levels? Madrigot, lowest level, the lowest level of Nevuah, that you feel inspired to do something. By inspiration to act. That's the all the Shoftim who had Ruach Hashem come on. That's the way Rashi understands David Ruach Hashem. The second level, a little higher, that he has ideas that come to him. Koach achar hitkadesh, and he has new power. Yesimu specifically, he's going to speak. This next level is not so much inspiration to act, but to say, to write, to compose. Yedaber, and you'll say wise things or praises, hazara, or warning the public, or say spiritual things, those kind of inspiration to speak. And this is all when one is awake, and your senses are working normally. You're not in a trance. That also means to be speaking by Ruach HaKodesh, finally inspired, saying things that are true, but not in a trance, not in the sense that you're losing yourself in the divine, which you'll talk about in higher levels of real Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what it means that David composed Tehillim in Ruach HaKodesh.
So that's the
No,
highest level?
that's the second out
Oh,
of
so
ten.
nice
It's
level,
not
okay.
that, right? The Sefer Ketuvim is not Nevi'im. Mishle, that we should look at are also Ruach HaKodesh, divinely inspired to speak, but not having a sense of communicating with God. And so we have these various levels of quote, Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. The Gemara talks about that when it says, when it introduces the parak of L'David Mizmor, what it means, Shechartelov Shechina, he was inspired, Bakarkach Amar Shir, and they said it. Whatever he wrote. When it says Mizmor David, in that order, Lamed Amra Shira, Vachach Shartel Shechina. He starts composing, then as he's writing, gets this inspiration. All of them end up inspired at different levels of there, and we all have that. So obviously, when he says now, Ruach Hashem Diverbi, or is it Umilatol Shanin, his words are on my tongue, it's referring both to his divinely inspired poetry and his divinely inspired military prowess as well, both there. So this is really the first part of David's career in this autobiographical notes. Okay, he's become a poet, he sings to Shaul, he's the military leader. And then comes the second part, which is the second, next pasuk. Amar Elokei Yisraeli, God told me, Dibar Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel spoke, Moshel Ba'adam. You are the ruler among people, tzaddik, a tzaddik, just. Moshel Yirat Elokim rules with the fear of God. Step two. Yeah. And this is a part that when we looked at David's life, when he's running away from Shaul, and a lot of that consists of trying to run away from that destiny. He doesn't want to be the king of Israel. He runs to Moab, he hides in the desert, he runs to the Plishtim, but he never quite escapes that. And this is when David is running away, but Misham it's been Moab, and David runs to Moab trying to hide from Shaul. Let my family stay with you. I shall be done. My cell him to God. I know what God does to me. God, Hanavi, God, the Navi, not God. God, Hanavi comes to him in Moab and tells him, Lo teshev Mitzudah, don't stay in this fortress. Lech uvata lecha eretz Yehuda, go to Yehuda. You have destiny. That's Hashem tells him, Moshe ba'adam, you are going to be the leader, the ruler of men. And he goes to the forest. And there are two phrases there. Moshe ba'adam tzaddik, he described himself. Look at the Nikud there, the Ta'amim. Those are two phrases. Moshe ba'adam is one, and tzaddik is another. So you have to be both ruler and tzaddik and just. And then he describes Hashem's mission to him. Hashem told him to be Moshe Yirat Elokim, ruler with the Yirat Elokim. And what does that mean? It's Yira, awe. Yirat Elokim is a sense of separation. And Yirat Elokim, in this sense, means making a place for God. And this is Pachad Yitzchak. Again, Rav Huttner explains it. Yirat Elokim is the way we are holich b'drachah. We imitate God in the sense of Hashem Tzimtzum. Hashem makes a place in the world universe for us. We need to make a place for Hashem. I think it's an interesting. I'm going to read this interesting essay from the Pachad Yitzchak on Pesach. We cannot start to explain these things. The idea of Yirat Elokim. We have to remove this mistake that people make in this idea of Yirat Shamayim, fear of heaven. What does Yira mean? Tov,
Ah.
right. What does that, as a practical matter, mean? I specifically say that our job is imitat Yodei, imitating God. So what does Yirat Elokim mean in that sense? That's what.
Then we follow in his ways.
Right. So how does Yira apply? So he says there's a mistake that is made. Todzo, this mistake, mipashta kol kach, is so widespread. Ad shegam motzi la'aretz sefer Tomer Devorah. The editor, the publisher of the Tomer Devorah, the Tomer Devorah was by Moshe Cordovero, who's a Kabbalist in Tzfat, 16th century. And he wrote, the Tomer Devorah basically is about how we're supposed to imitate Hashem and all the midot of Hashem. Rachum v'chanun, erech apayim, chesed emet isn't so much as a way of telling God what to do, but the way of telling ourselves what to do. We need to be rachum v'chanun, notzei chesed, and all that. So that's the
Yeah.
Tomer Devorah. He's saying that the publisher of the Tomer Devorah made a mistake. Chazal made this mistake. Lo'od el shatala dvarim be'ilan gadol, but he attributed that to his understanding of the Tomer Devorah, Cordovero himself. The introduction to this published edition of the Tomer Devorah says, "Laman libuna inyan na tiket dvarav." So I'm going to copy his words. This is the introduction there. And he says, "Nikala dat is obvious. It's easy to see. Ki hamidot kulan ava chanina v'chemla." That when we talk about love, mercy, pity, nimsot ba'adam, they're found in human beings. Mishum shenishmato hi chelak eloka mimah. They're part of the divine. We are imitating God when we have mercy, when we love another. That's obvious. We know that. Achachat hi, asher Hashem doresh me'etanu. But there's one thing that God asks of us, mashe ein eslo, that is not imitating God. There's nothing divine. V'hi ha'yira. So Hashem doesn't have any yira of something else. That doesn't make any sense. Yislo yiparach li'itoar yira, chas v'shalom, because we can't describe Hashem as having awe of something. What does it mean when we have awe? Akadato, that is the opinion. He's quoting the introduction to the Tomer Devorah written by the publisher, not by Cordovero. And he said, and everyone is saying that's completely wrong. Reitafas kanacha pshuta, he said that, look, that this editor said that it's obvious. Yividat yirat shamayim lo yitaken lomar ba yishtavut ledarchei makom. We have yira that has nothing to do with God. Hashem, we're not imitating God when we have Yira. He says the zu he ta'ut guramo. That's a terrible mistake. Kilom zehu aklok. It's always true. In lachashum tinu'ah b'avodat Hashem. There's nothing we do and shemi Hashem. So timsa kenegda tinu'ah makbila yidotav shel makom yachol. It doesn't have some kind of parallel. So what's the parallel? What is it that we are imitating when we have Yirat Hashem? I said that already. He cites the Rambam. which where he talks about when the Ramban rather talks about Zachor v'Shamor b'dibur achad, that Zachor is the mitzvah aseh of Shabbos and Shamor is the mitzvah lo taseh. Ramban says in this, Zachor ramzu b'mitzvah aseh, that Zachor means do the right thing. And that's our expression of Avat Hashem, to do the things that God wants. And that's what Midat Rachamim is. Because we do what God wants. That's showing our love of God, and God will have mercy on us. Midat Shamor, but when it says guard, stop, mitzvah lo taseh, so we don't do those things. This is Midat Hadin, where avoiding the things that God doesn't. Now, Futner continues. Zeh shekadav Ramban. Ramban says, the Ava Ushura shall kiyu mitzvah aseh. The Avat Hashem is why we do mitzvah aseh. The Hainu Mishum shebashash and nefesh nimtzep mazal shid pashtut. It's when we feel expansive, when we feel close to God, right? We encompass everything. Then we are. We want to do. That's what mitzvah aseh are. We want to do things for Hashem. That's the Abba. I want to get close. Umata corresponding to that yira, who shores the prisha me'avero. The yira is the holding back. That's the not doing. That's the lo taseh. I mean, mishum de shebisha she nefesh nimtzeit b'mazal shel hitkavtzut, when we feel constricted. I'm separate from God. I'm in my own little place over here. As strength is constricted, and it's all within itself. You would not do it. The mitzvah I say reflects a sense of holding back. So the mida of simtzum, the idea of holding back, is actually what Hashem does. Hashem creates the world by holding back. That's what we are imitating with Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is saying, I'm not everything. I'm going to create a place for God in the world. And that corresponds to creation, where Hashem creates a place in the universe. Hashem pulls back from the tzimtzum, creates a place for us. That's it. That's what Moshel B'Yirat Hashem means. And again, Hanagat Tzimtzum Zu, he Hanagat B'Midat Yirat Shamayim means. And so creating the Mikdash in that sense, creating a big Mikdash is the way of saying, God, you created the whole world. I'm giving back some of that to Hashem. We express that Yirat Shamayim by not doing certain actions. We express it by dedicating certain days to Hashem. That's what Shabbos is. Creating holy space is another way of creating space in our world for Hashem. So the building of the Mishkan parallels the creation of the world. Guy Furman talks about this a lot. That the creation of the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan has all the same phrases as Bereishis creation of the universe. Talking about the Yahuwah Shemayim, and the Mishkan was Techel Kol Vada, by Baruch Elokim, and Moshe's by Baruch Lotam. All these words come together. Like creating the Mishkan was like our version of creating the universe. So David expresses that Moshe Yerat Elokim, ruling with the awe of God, is the desire to build the Beit Midash. We want to make a place here in this universe of ours for Hashem. There's still an aspect that's missing. He's not perfect. Which gets back to the tzaddik. He's got to be tzaddik. Because the mitzvah of building the mikdash has two parts. It says, this is from Devarim. Moshe says you have to build, pick a place for Hashem. And you will cross the Jordan, you will settle in the land. And you will have peace from all your enemies around you. And you will settle securely. And then, by Yamakom Hashem, and then the place will be where you go and bring all your offerings there. The two parts are Hiniach lachem mikol eivechem, peace from the surrounding enemies, and Shabta Betach, and all the people living in security. That we need to have Bnei Yisrael living as a society where everyone can live together. And that means it has to be not just a place of, for Yira, but also of Ava. And that's what it means that it needs to be Moshe, Ba'adam, and Tzaddik. He certainly tries. He starts his reign. This is in just in Perachet Shmuel Bet. David is king on Israel and over all Israel. David Oseh Mishpat Utzidaka L'chol Amah. Justice and righteousness for all his people. So that's where things start. And I think, unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to finish here. So I'm going to stop here. And the next pasuk is going to be Ke'or Boker Yizrach Shemesh, that the light and the light, the potential is there, like the dawn. So David starts his rule with this potential. And we'll see where things go from there. I'm going to stop here. Okay. And we'll finish Mitzvah Shem next week.
Awesome.
With the
That was
rest.
very cool, the whole idea of the Tzimtzum, of how we do Tzimtzum by building a place for God here. That was new for me. I mean, I've always heard about God's Tzimtzum, but I never heard about our Tzimtzum
Okay.
to let in
So
God.
this is that. That's Pachad Yisak. That's what I put in there. Rabbi Foreman says the same thing. There are
Interesting,
some
because you need
videos on that and that idea.
requirements, but to build that, you also need peace. And that also is a an issue of Tzimtzum. You have to make room for other people
Right.
in your
That's
life.
that's about. So that so a lot. So Ava is the idea of we are one, we're all together. You know,
Yeah.
the Yira side of it is Tzimtzum is. We're not all the same, and you have your own space as well.
Ah.
Right? Infinite chesed gets to be oppressive. There's a dialectic there in our
You need a
interpersonal
group.
relationships as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks,
Okay, I'm going
Nami.
to stop here.
Have a good